Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor in the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for finding us on your favorite podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and more. Also on Dash Radio every single day at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's on their Nothing But Net channel. Also check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel. We got Royal Shepherd hosting the post-up show there right now. That should be fun. Also check out FiveReasonsSports.com. FiveReasonsSports.com. Brady Hawk posting his takeaways from the Heat's latest loss. Also check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We mention them all the time. They're based in North Miami, just south of the Golden Glades. Great people. They handle everything at this law firm, literally everything. Whatever you can think of, they do it, whether it's immigration, divorce, everything, they do it. But one of the things that they do really, really well is personal injury. So if you've had any kind of an issue, make sure that you go to them. You can go to onecalllegal.com, O-N-E, calllegal.com. The phone number is 855-5000-LAW. That's 855, like Jason Williams, 5000 Law. If you mention Five Reasons, you'll get a free consultation. They'll assess your situation, determine if you have a good case. With 24/7 availability, they'll make sure you work directly with an attorney to get the compensation that you deserve. I've had a couple of friends have gone to them. They've had great experiences because they are great people, and they've been with us since the very beginning. So support the sponsors that support us, and we only line up with sponsors that we believe in. So it's the Seltzer Mayberg Law Firm, 855-5000-LAW. And now, tonight's episode.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
On the floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick with Alex Toledo and Greg Sylvander, part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. No Greg Sylvander tonight. We have capably replaced him. In addition to Alex Toledo, we've got Ariel Attias. Did I do that correctly? Or like on the fifth try on this podcast, I'm going to get it right.
It's still Attias, but the first name's good. So we're making some progress.
Change it so that it makes it easier for me. All right. We've got Ariel on here after the Miami Heat. Pretty much, I mean, I felt like this was a rerun, guys. And not that it was altogether surprising, but pretty much the exact same thing that happened the night before. The Heat get off to a good start. Tonight, they score 31 against Denver in the first quarter. The night before, it was 34 against Phoenix in the first quarter. And then the second quarter was a total bleeping bleep show. They get outscored 34-18. They give up 36 in the third. So the middle two quarters, they get outscored 70-48. The fourth quarter was pretty much an afterthought. There was never really a feeling they were going to get back into this game. Bam was more aggressive from the very start. You could say that. He scored 21 on 7 of 16. Give Jimmy some credit for playing through the injury, but he wasn't really himself. Had 13 points, 9 assists he did have, and also 3 steals. But guys, I'm going to mention a couple of other numbers here, and then I want to get to kind of the point here. Tyler Hero, 2 of 10 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3, minus 14 on the game, 5 points. I mean, Duncan Robinson made 3 threes. But basically I keep coming back to the same thought, and I hate to say it, but we are now, you know, essentially, you know, we got the season, the end of the season is in sight at this point. And this team is average, right? I mean, can we say anything else at this stage? They're average. They don't challenge the really good teams in the league for very long, and they struggle with the bad teams. That's an average team.
I think they definitely performed like an average team throughout most of the season. You know, they've been really up and down. They've had their win streaks, they've had their losing streaks. We know about the context of the, you know, the beginning of the season with the, you know, the COVID contact tracing and all of that, Jimmy missing games, Goran declining. I think the roster, when it's healthy, is a good team. I think they're a real playoff team when they're healthy. I think the team that's been out there the last couple of nights just, I mean, that I don't know what's going on. Like the offense, I just think they don't have enough. And God forbid Eric Spoelstra ever hear that, but they just don't have enough, especially when, besides the fact that Goran's been declining, like when, whether he's there or not, it's not good. He just hasn't looked good, period, right? And then when they're without him, it still looks bad because the guys that come in as plug-and-play guys would be nice plug-and-play guys if you had other creators. But the problem is your only creator is Jimmy, and you have Bam being a facilitator, and you programmed him into being more of a facilitator than a scorer. And then you're just missing, like, a lot of parts. Like, Tyler looks better when you have more creators around him. The same thing happened in the finals. Like, he just started to struggle a lot more when you take away the other creators. And he just can't do that efficient stuff night to night, especially if he's just on the ball a lot more. I just think when you take away a couple of these pieces, the rest of the guys just look a lot worse than they usually do. And Jimmy was definitely not right tonight. So there was just a lot going on. And, you know, that second quarter was horrible. That second quarter really set the tone for the rest of the game. They scored, what was it, 17 points in the second? Like,
yeah, they got 18, and I mean, but there's always a sub 22 quarter in there, and it's the quarter that absolutely kills them. And Ariel, that's kind of what I want to get to here is, you know, we keep talking about when they get healthy, but I mean, Goran hasn't been, whether Goran's healthy or not right now, he hasn't been good. So I don't know how big a difference that would have made. And I do understand Alex's point here. It's like you take one piece away from this team. I think our old friend Alf actually tweeted this today that, you know, they're like Jenga. Like you take one piece out and the whole thing collapses. But, you know, you look at Denver tonight, you just took a major, major piece away from them. I know they've lost a couple straight, but they, I mean, a guy who's a premium scorer in this league who has been coming into his own, you take him out tonight, it's like, okay, Michael Porter.
Good luck fronting Jokic. Good luck fronting Jokic and taking Bam off of him.
Well, so Ariel, how does that, I mean, again, if you're looking at, you know, what happened to Denver, I mean, Denver, there's no excuse tonight for Denver. They just outplayed them.
There frequently isn't necessarily an excuse, but there are reasons that these kind of games happen to the Heat. And a big part of that is the soft switching. In my opinion, I know that a lot of it is by design, and it's probably what the coaching staff wants players like Bam and the other guys on the roster to do, but it's most egregious when Bam does it off ball, where it's not necessarily needed, because what ends up happening is a guy like Duncan Robinson or another wing who just absolutely cannot check a guy like Nikola Jokic, the MVP front runner, under the rim or near the basket. The end result of that is you get out rebounded 43-30 tonight. That's really bad. The Heat are a team that is, you know, they're not going to overwhelm most teams with talent necessarily, but what they need to do is play with maximum effort. This team is at its best when it's switching all over the court and attacking the glass. The guards and wings need to get in there and help out under the boards, but it's tough when Bam is consistently switched out on the perimeter. And, you know, it's a mismatch every single time. They got out rebounded last night against Phoenix. I think it was like 48-36. And we saw a lot of the same tonight. The offense has actually been fine. I mean, at least tonight, they shot 49% from the field, 40% from three. They made most of their free throws. They were all right. But Alex hit the nail on the head in saying that when you don't have Victor Oladipo, and given that Goran is just not that guy anymore, it can't just be Jimmy, who's the only guy who's consistently putting his head down and getting to the rim. So it's the lack of consistent rim pressure, which collapses the defense and opens things up for them offensively. But when the offense is not a problem, big problem is they're just not able to execute their scheme to maximum effectiveness if they're not playing at 100%. Now, some of that is due to playing on the second night of a back-to-back in Denver, a place where they never win. But frankly, they've just got to play harder. They're not a team that's going to overwhelm you with talent.
I think we've learned, and I love what you're talking about here, Ariel. I think we've learned this season that all these different coverages they've thrown out and that keeps leaning more and more towards either just switching Bam on the perimeter or straight up trapping and then helping from the backside. And like you said, having a smaller person help there. I mean, look, tonight was just like there was I really thought they had no shot doing that scheme. Like, I think the scheme in general on defense has been good for them. They're usually pretty good at executing it, but they have these off nights where it's like, if it's a step slow, you're getting dusted, right? Especially versus these good teams who have a lot of options and guys who can take advantages of these small windows. Like you saw last night, Chris Paul starting to adjust quarter by quarter, beating the trap before it even got there, either finding the open man right away or leading to the hockey assist, because Chris Paul is just that good. And then tonight you have it from the other side of the trap where Jokic is just like, he's going to carve that up every single time. And I like Trevor Ariza a lot as a guy who can help out in that situation, right? Like if you have Bam switching onto perimeter, I really like Ariza as a guy who can front, and you have the rest of the defense, you know, like helping. They did that really well during the playoffs against Giannis. They did it really well versus the Lakers, except they just didn't have the guys. I think that the scheme is good once it's executed properly. And I think like tonight was absolutely a team. It's just like, you were going to get diced up. It was just not even a question to me. And the offense is like, yeah, their percentages were good, which I'm definitely, you know, I'm cool with that. They just took 10 less shots than the Nuggets. And like you said, they got out rebounded, and that was always going to happen when you trap like that and just leave Jokic there on the boards versus smaller guys. I just think tonight was one of those nights where, you know, everything was wrong, everything, including the game plan.
Well, but that's two straight nights that everything was wrong. And I know they're going against very good Western Conference teams.
They're completely outmatched.
Okay. And see, that's, but that gets back to my
current iteration. I mean,
but that I understand, but that gets back to my original point. We have not seen the full iteration enough this season because of whether it was Jimmy out or Dragic out and declining or now Oladipo out. We haven't seen it. And at a certain point, you know, and this came up when I was on with Ira on Onside about a week ago, at a certain point, you just sort of say, okay, it's just not going to happen. And I don't want to be, you know, we don't have Greg on here, you know, who I know is going to be a little sunnier on this type of stuff. And typically I try to be, but I'm just getting to the point with this team where I'm like, okay, can they make a run in a playoff series? Well, if they get the right matchup, if they get a little bit healthier, but I haven't seen it. We saw for that one stretch where they were playing particularly well when Jimmy came back. But other than that, and I know that one of the counters that's going to come up here as well, they weren't playing well before the COVID break last year. And then, you know, they didn't even start that well in the bubble. They were, I don't really count 3-5 because they didn't really care about that eighth game, but they were 3-4. Okay. They were competitive in a lot of those games, but you saw signs. Okay. You saw signs that they had a game they could go to. They were shooting the ball well. Other than, you know, I mean, they do play stretches of some suffocating defense, but even as Ariel mentioned, there's a fatal flaw in the defensive system, which is that they're soft switching everything all the time. And they're taking a guy who is one of their two best defenders, and they're essentially, you know, putting him in a spot where then he can't cover for anybody else. And I don't know exactly how they fix that. I mean, Ariel, they've gotten more out of Trevor Ariza than anybody could have anticipated. The guy did not play for a year. It still hasn't really mattered in terms of the overall results.
So I'm just going to give you a little bit of pushback on the Trevor Ariza thing, because I succinctly remember, you know, blowing the horn on Trevor Ariza, saying that he was going to be the starter for this team. I expected him to step in and play this role. Like I said, though, the problem is when you're a team, a try-hard team, if you don't play with 100% effort every single night, you're simply going to lose more games. Now, last year, it was obviously different, right? Because Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, guys like that had come out of nowhere and weren't at the top of everybody's scouting reports. But now the book is out. Everybody knows what the Heat are trying to do on offense.
And Goran was good.
Correct. Goran was good. That's the single biggest thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The offensive profile is very similar to what it was last year. It hasn't changed much. The difference is it's on the game plan. Everybody knows that Bam is consistently looking for the handoff, and Goran isn't quite the player that he was last year. He's lost a step, and the adjustment, I think, needs to be made primarily by Bam to look for the dribble handoff less, fake the dribble handoff, whatever it is, turn, face the basket, get going downhill, because when he does that, he is a monster. He is borderline unstoppable.
He was early in this game, but there's one point you made here, and I think we should actually close this portion of the episode with this. You said when they're a try-hard team, you know, if you don't do it consistently, that you're going to get beat. And I'm with you on this team. This team is not talented enough, in my view, even when fully whole, to just overwhelm anybody with talent. Brooklyn can do that. The Lakers, when they're whole, can do that. The Clippers at times can do that. Large majority of teams in the league can't do that. This is not one of the teams that can do that. So I will ask this question because, again, I've covered 25 of these seasons at this stage. I've seen try-hard teams, and I've seen not-so-try-hard teams. Okay, we saw that 16-17 team the second half of the season. That was an ultimate try-hard team. They didn't try as hard the next year. The 06 champions, they tried hard for like a month behind Dwayne, and that's why they won a championship. And they didn't try at all for the next 2 years. Why do we think, what is your theories on why the effort has not been as consistent this year? Is it the short layoff? Is it maybe frustration that they can't get the team together? Is it something maybe you think that Spoelstra is doing? Like, what are your theories on why we're not seeing that kind of maniacal effort from this team every night?
I mean, I think it's just tough. I think what they do is really, really hard on both ends of the floor. Like you see on offense, they're constantly, even though they play at such a slow pace, they're laboring for points. And we talk about this, like they're constantly getting less shots than their opponent, right? And that's obviously a symptom of the slow pace that they play at. But it's because not only do they not get offensive rebounds, but a lot of times, like, they're waiting for the sets to set up. And if they don't get the looks that they want, they look for other, you know, I give them props for having patience and always trying to get good looks and playing team basketball and all of that. But at the end of the day, and there's your quota for the day, Jimmy and Bam, and shout out to, I want to say his handle is the Angry Heat Fan on Twitter. He's, you know, great follow. He was pointing out that, like, your two best players, Jimmy and Bam, have lower usage than other guys at their stature. Like, the guys who are the two best players in the teams, the guys who the team run around, like, their role is almost like as much as a facilitator as it is a scorer. And so I just think, when in times like this, when you're missing other guys like that, the really simple answer is Jimmy and Bam need to attack more. Like, it's really that simple, because you can't just have them running the same system and you're missing two big time, or at least in your team, big time creators. Like, I just think they really don't have enough offensively. And then you talk about on the defensive end, everybody's helping and switching all the time. That is really, really, really hard to execute perfectly all game, especially versus teams like this one, where there's just such gigantic mismatches that you're going to get constantly beat on. I just feel so bad for Trevor Ariza and Duncan Robinson, who had to constantly switch onto Jokic and take that beating. I know they're going to feel it tomorrow. I just think they're doing a whole lot to try to win games. And in the Bam conversation, it's as much on Bam as it is on Spo. I really do think it's 50-50. Bam needs to want it more, but Spo needs to put him in positions to become a scorer and not just keep him so far away from the basket all the time. I know you've made this point, Ariel. I just think there's a whole lot going on right now, and it's not great.
Ariel, I'll let you close. Why are we not seeing them play with the same effort?
I think Alex made phenomenal points, probably a couple of the points that I wanted to make. So I'm glad about that. But frankly, I think it's kind of a perfect storm, or maybe the imperfect storm of everything. It could potentially be, you know, a lack of adjustment in the offensive attack. And that's probably on the coaching staff. But frankly, I don't really know if this team, especially when they're consistently missing, you know, one, two, three of their top eight or nine guys almost every night. And when they are in, guys like Goran, you know, have frankly lost a step and it's limited their effectiveness. I don't really know if there is much of an adjustment to make. And so to me, it falls more squarely on the Heat's two best players, exactly like Alex said. Bam, you know, like Alex had mentioned, I tweeted that out the other day. Bam absolutely needs to look to score more. Mm-hmm. Eric Spoelstra, in my view, is absolutely the best coach in the NBA. There's not another coach I would trade him for. That doesn't mean that he is without flaw. And so to me, a big part of this is Bam needs to be put in more offensive actions where he is the number one option in terms of scoring the basketball. So maybe it's more screen and rolls with Jimmy. Maybe it's more, you know, dribble handoff actions with Duncan, where Bam is instructed to look to score first.
Actually, when Jimmy's off the bench.
Absolutely.
On the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. Bam is so good, man. And this is the reason we're so hard on him, is because he has the ability to turn into a guy who can give you 25 a night. I truly, genuinely believe that he has the offensive skill set. But to me, you know, it's a variety of these things. Perhaps the trade rumors had some effect on some of the Heat's younger players, and those guys happen.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor and the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay
for players kind of keeping in the range, but there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly. So I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To be the same players that were like really key for the Heat's success last year. So I don't know. I don't know if there's any one perfect answer to this. I think it's a perfect or imperfect storm, and it's a variety of different factors that play into this.
All right. Let's get to the next part of the episode. Thanks, Ariel, for stepping in here tonight. Thanks, Alex, for staying up late again. When we come back, I'm going to talk to Eric Brown. He challenged me on some things, and actually a lot of things we talked about earlier today kind of played out tonight. So I think you'll find it interesting. Before we do, I want to tell you about another great sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network, bestever.com. That's BSTEVR.com. You want to simulate anything for free, former NFL teams against current NFL teams. You can basically play last year's Dolphins against this year's Dolphins already, because you can plug the players in. They'll give you a full game story. They will give you the full stats, and you can basically settle arguments with all your friends. So it's a really cool site, bstevr.com. We're trying to get you ready for when they launch the NBA platform, because we're going to be doing a lot of that on our YouTube channel and on 5 on the Floor. And now my conversation with Eric Brown, who you know as 5ReasonsRealtor.com and a big Heat fan. Welcome back on 5 on the Floor. We're here for our regular segment with our friend Eric Brown. You can find him at 5ReasonsRealtor.com. That's F-I-V-E, ReasonsRealtor.com. He's the guy you want to go to if you are buying or selling a house in South Florida. So make sure you check out that site. We'll give you some more information as we go forward. We call this segment Value Plays. It's where we bring in someone else who I'm not on here on the podcast with every day to challenge me a little bit on some things. And Eric, he makes it tough for me sometimes. So Eric, let's start with number one.
Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit, or just go over a little bit, the Oladipo trade and the ramifications of the pick swap. From a value standpoint, and this is value plays, on second thought, I'm questioning it a little bit. What it did was, in effect, we are going to swap, or excuse me, Houston has the option to swap the Brooklyn pick to us and take the Miami pick. Now, Brooklyn, like right now, if that draft was held today, Brooklyn's like 28th, we have the 28th pick, and the Heat would be around 18. So it in effect, like 28 is like a glorified second pick. It actually in some ways is worth less than a first round pick, because teams don't really want that. You'd rather have the 31st pick and not have to pay the guy than have a 28th pick in the draft. So in effect, we're left with no 21 first round pick, a 22nd pick that's like really less desirable than a second round pick. And of course the 23rd, the year 23, it's the lottery, it's a lottery protected pick, but we don't have our draft pick then. I just think it continues the pattern of not valuing draft picks properly, given their currency that they're used as now in the NBA.
It's interesting. I don't think we've really talked about the draft pick. We've mostly talked about Olynyk and Bradley, mostly Olynyk, because we really weren't seeing Bradley. I can see it. I do know the way that the Heat sort of value picks. You're right. Their currency to a certain degree, if you need to do it to close the deal, that's what you did. I think that's what they did in this case. I don't know. You know, it's funny. We always talked about how, well, Riley doesn't care about trading future picks because he won't be here, when the reality is he doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So,
right.
So, you know, I mean, I remember the Dragic trade. We talked about the Dragic trade. Well, Pat won't be here in 2023. He won't still be running the team, so it doesn't really matter. And of course, Pat is likely going to be running the team in 2023. So he must not view it to be all that valuable. I get what you're saying. I think that, you know, the real sort of shame is not having a pick this year, because you've got this kind of double draft that came in. I think when they looked forward, maybe it wasn't as big a concern, but I get it. And look, you know, this was part of, you know, the transaction with Oladipo, which was, you knew that you were essentially getting a diminished asset for a look-see, and it didn't mean you were necessarily committing to him long-term. In some ways, the fact that they've gotten the look-see may help govern their actions in the future, because maybe they won't invest in somebody who, if he had, let's say, stayed with Houston through the offseason, to the offseason, they may have invested in him without really getting a good look at him medically, and now they can get a good look at him medically. So I think all of this was part of the calculation, and again, it was viewed as kind of low risk, potentially high reward, although I don't think they were counting on it. If Depot comes back and plays, say, the last week or two of the regular season and plays well in the playoffs, and puts himself in position where maybe he's a player you keep, I don't think anybody's going to care about the pick swap. If Oladipo does not come back, or does not come back and perform well, or can't perform, you know, to the level that everybody was expecting, and then does not resign, then yes, this will be one of those trades that you look at and say, you know, it probably didn't work out all that well. So I get it. I get it.
I think from what I'm arguing here is the value proposition. And particularly now, you've enlightened me, particularly with that podcast with the guy from Indiana the other night.
Yes.
You know, Depot was more of a diva than I thought. Mm-hmm. That we found out that he had a strength imbalance, you know, between his legs, between the two legs. And there really were no competing offers. Mm-hmm. So why are we basically throwing in a potential mid first round pick?
Well, the only competing offer, Eric, could be, you know, Houston, essentially a non-offer, but Houston's decision to just basically take their ball and go home, which essentially is what Toronto did, right? So, you know, I mean, if you look at Toronto's situation now, and I don't think anybody argues against the fact that Masai is one of the best in the game, but essentially what Toronto did was, I mean, they don't really appear to be competing right now, and yet Kyle is sort of stuck there, and I don't believe that he's going to resign, and so I don't think it was the best decision for Toronto, not to say take a Duncan Robinson, for instance, and evaluate him and perhaps pay him, but they made that decision. Houston could have made the same decision. They just could have just said, we didn't like any offers. So again, I understand you say Miami's competing against themselves, and I think in a lot of ways here they were, but also they were also competing to stay competitive this year, right? And at the time, if you can get a guy who was a former All-Star and evaluate him, that's why I didn't really have a big issue with the trade. And I don't really look at the Olynyk numbers now as anything significant, because we know Kelly wasn't doing that consistently here. So
I have no problem with the players. It's just when I stopped and really thought about what they did with the draft pick, it bothers me a little bit. It just, like I say, they just don't value draft picks properly considering today's environment.
All right, let's get to number two.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to take you back to when you took your SATs. So listen to the question carefully.
My daughter's 6.5 and taking SATs. I don't even really understand how that happened. I don't know. She's been doing it for 2 weeks. Go ahead.
Which of the following most accounts for the difference in the Heat between the contending team we saw in the bubble and the 500 team that we've seen this season? Number one, the front office decision to wait on Giannis. Two, Tyler Hero's lack of development. Three, Bubble Goran Dragic versus this year's version. Four, poor performances of those front office offseason acquisitions of Harkless and Bradley, like i.e. the failure to replace Crowder right away. Five, they just front office just fell in love with the bubble roster too much, like they've done with a couple other rosters in the past. Or six, better Eastern Conference competition. Or seven, something else. So which of the following most accounts for the difference?
I wish you hadn't given me this the something else, because if I had enough time, I probably would think of something else. Let me give you, of the ones you gave me, I have a feeling where you may go here. I'm not saying Tyler. I mean, Tyler statistically actually now is a little better than he was in the bubble. So I understand that there've been holes in his game this year, but I don't think that's the reason for this. The Eastern Conference competition, I don't think is an issue. They've been losing to bad teams too. I don't really feel, and the reality is they're actually, you know, at times the past week and a half, they've been in a higher seed than they finished last year. So I don't think it's that. The front office,
they're also 2.5 games as we speak from being in the lottery.
No, I get it, but they also may finish fifth again. So I don't think it's Eastern Conference. The front office offseason acquisitions, I mean, again, they tried to patch that now with at the very least, they've got Ariza. We'll see what Dedmon is and Bielitsa. I mean, yes, were mistakes made? Absolutely. And I think that ties in with the Giannis thing, but I don't think that's the reason for the struggle. I am going to go off the board, actually. I mean, to me, of the ones you choose, I think it's Goran. Honestly, I think.
Bingo.
I think we're under. It's not what I would choose as number one, by the way. But and I'll give you that in a second. But I think it's Goran. I think Goran played at a level last year in the bubble that nobody was really anticipating he would play at. I mean, that was essentially all-star Goran, which I don't think we still thought he had in him. And he has not been all-star Goran this year, or really lately anything reasonably close. So I would say Goran to me would be the first of yours. I'm going to go off the board, though.
That's why it's there.
I think the biggest issue is that Jimmy Butler hasn't played enough games, because they're 24-15 when he plays. So, I mean, if you're going to make an argument that, you know, what they've missed the most, I mean, they've been basically on an 82 game pace, about a 49-50 win team when Jimmy plays, even with all the other issues that they've had. So, I mean, that's not that much worse. I mean, look, in the bubble, they were 3-5 before the playoffs. I know that may not have been representative because they were kind of gearing up and they didn't really care about seed, but I would say number one is Jimmy not playing enough games. And number two is Goran not playing like the Goran we saw last year. Those would be my two choices.
So what you're basically saying is that they still are a contender when we get to the playoffs.
I don't think they have that Goran again. I think Jimmy makes them competitive if he's playing, but Eric, I don't think we're going to see that Goran again. Like, I think if you saw that, and I think part of the acquisition of Oladipo, cycling back to your first question today, if they got the Oladipo, you know, in the lineup that we started to see in his last game here, then I think not having Goran play at a Goran level is not as big a deal. But if you don't have Oladipo and you've got a Dragic who can't turn the corner and doesn't really get to the rim to finish anymore, then, and is, you know, still, as we know, a liability defensively, then to me, that is the deficit from last year. They're a bad offensive team when he plays this year. And that was not the case in the bubble last season, particularly as it became a starter in the playoffs.
You really are cheating a little on your SATs, because I'm going under the assumption that Butler's playing, and I'm still saying that they're, not a contender, and you're agreeing with me, but then you're saying that that's the reason. So I think you cheated a little bit, but we do agree, because it to me, it absolutely, without a question, is Goran. If you look at his career as like a fireworks display, the bubble was the grand finale. Yeah. With all kinds of light and bright and explosions everywhere. And then the lights went out and there's no more show and everybody went home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I hate to say it because he's one of my all-time favorites, but they're going to have a decision to make this offseason. I mean, can they can they squeeze some Manu years out of him, right? Like that, I think that's where we're at. Like, you know, Popovich sort of did that masterfully in the last few years of Ginobili's career. There obviously are a lot of similarities there with Goran. I mean, can he, they squeeze that out of Goran at this stage? But the complicating factor is I've been told repeatedly, as long as Jimmy is here, Goran's here. So, I mean, they have to play into that. And I love Goran to death. And I there's no one on this team I want, you know, to win a championship more. He has put the blood, sweat, and tears in on this thing, and he doesn't have one. And he was robbed of his opportunity last year. But I just think we've got to recalibrate our expectations with him at this stage. You know, what made him special was his ability to attack and finish. And, you know, he's been a plus 3-point shooter later in his career, but that's not what it was about. So I would say Goran. Of the ones you gave me, it's Goran. But if you're to say to me, you know, what has been the difference in the games they've lost this year? The difference is that they haven't.
That's a different question.
Okay, well then I'll go. Then I'll go with Goran. All right, we got time literally for 1 minute here. So throw me the last one. I'll see if I can answer it quick.
Okay, just out of curiosity, who would you like to see the Heat play in the playoffs? This has.
Are you talking first round? Or are you talking eventually?
Just the matchup you most want to see, regardless of how it helps them progress, or just the matchup you want to see, mano a mano.
The Nets matchup, I have a bad feeling would be ultra non-competitive at this stage if they're all healthy. So I don't really need to see that, I guess. The Bucks series, we've seen that story before. So to me, we saw Philadelphia a few years ago. I think Philadelphia would be interesting, and I know I'm going to contradict myself by saying, well, we've seen this before. I kind of think a Boston rematch would be compelling. That team has gone all kinds of sideways, but so have the Heat. It would be interesting to see which of the two teams could kind of get to their game quicker than last year. The Atlanta series doesn't interest me. The Charlotte series, they've got some interesting young players, but I think that series would be infuriating in a lot of different ways with all the random scrub Heat killers and all the rest of that stuff. I don't know. I there's not one that like jumps off the board to me, but I would say in the East, which is probably where this thing is going to end this year, I would say bring the Celtics on again and see if Miami can recapture a little of that magic.
I want to see him play the Sixers without question. I mean, I may be a little bit partial because I grew up in Philadelphia. I saw contacts there, but I was speaking with Spike Eskin, who does the Writes to Ricky Sanchez podcast. That's the podcast for the Philadelphia 76ers. I was asking him, you know, what he thought about the Sixers' chances. And he said, you know, he was a little fearful of the Nets, but against the Heat and the Bucks, he thought it was a 50-50 proposition. So I said, what bothers you about the Heat? He said, he doesn't think that Butler would lose to the Sixers. He said he'd rather die.
you know what? Now that you mention it, the Jimmy thing. Yes. I think you would get the most locked in Jimmy you've ever gotten, which when you talk about what he did in the finals is a strong statement, but because here's the thing about it. The guy who got pushed to the side there, Elton Brand, is the one who wanted to keep Jimmy. He doesn't have anything against Daryl Morey, but the owner is among those who wanted Jimmy out, or at least didn't see Jimmy as the key piece. And that was kind of him and Brett Brown together. So I think he would
They chose Ben Simmons over Jimmy.
Well, they chose to a certain degree Tobias Harris and Al Horford too. I mean, if you want to, you know, really look at it. So I think shoving it to Josh Harris, I mean, I said this on the podcast the other night. A broadcaster in Minnesota said CJ McCollum was better than Jimmy a few years ago. Right. And even though Jimmy really likes CJ McCollum, from what I understand, he has basically taken it upon himself to make CJ McCollum's life miserable ever since. So that's who we're dealing with here. You would get enraged Jimmy, which I actually think would be great theater. All right, Eric, where do people find you?
Sign me up for that one.
Yep. Where do people find you?
5 Reasons, realtor.com. All the information you need there to contact me, and be happy to help you with any kind of real estate needs you have, any kind of questions.
Yeah, well, he'll also ask you 6 questions. He'll ask you a 6-part question too, but he'll make sure you get the house.
Be glad to answer it.
Eric, appreciate it.
Right, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.